The views and opinions expressed on this program are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction of our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the program. You are listening to ACH and... And now, folks, I'd like to welcome our guest today, my good friend who's been on the show several times. In fact, this is his 40th visit. It is Dr. Eric Carlstrom. I'm going to bring up right now. Eric, are you with me?
Yes, I'm here, Andy, and Happy New Year almost. I guess it will be Happy New Year by the time this is posted, but 2020 is nigh upon us, and let's hope this is a year for truth. As 2019 and previous have been years for massive state-sponsored deceptions. So we'll keep slogging away, I guess.
Yeah, indeed we will. And we've got, as you know, a new format that Eric has been putting together with his great audio presentations and songs. We've got three of those lined up for you today. But before we dive into the first one, Eric, anything you want to talk about before we go into that?
Yeah, I was just wondering, okay, 40 shows, that's significant over the last 3 years, and I have enjoyed and worked to prepare for these shows to send the information that I think is most critical for people to know. You know, I taught at university 30 years, and so I would prepare for my lectures. I didn't just go in there and just start talking off the top of my head. So I would have notes, and, you know, I would, you know, read a lot and then distill the information and then try to give that to my students. When I retired in 2011, I thought, well, okay, maybe I can kind of expand my classroom a little bit through my five websites. And so I've got 911nwo.com, gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com, which I started in 2016 and grew out of 911nwo.com. After I realized I was being targeted as a targeted individual by the state system. And then my other websites are naturalclimatechange.com, San Luis Valley Waterwatch.com, and my musical website is ericcarlstrom.com. And, you know, I was just thinking as a reflection before this show, Andy, you know, Schopenhauer, the physicist, said all truth passes through three stages. First, it is ridiculed, then it is violently opposed, and then it is accepted as self-evident. But as we move into a more and more of a draconian surveillance state, you could call it totalitarian, I think that this system has this natural system. It's never been easy to be a truth teller because even in the old days, you were ridiculed and then violently opposed. But now I think the system ignores you assiduously until it realizes that you might be having an impact, and then you're flagged and put on a watch list, and then you're targeted for elimination. In other words, the state, the truth is the greatest enemy of the state, as Dr. Joseph Goebbels said, who is the Reich Minister of Propaganda in Nazi Germany. Well, we have a very Nazi Gestapo-like system in America now that I call global government gang stalking genocide Gestapo, G5. And I am targeted, so I'm studying this thing not only academically, but I'm also having to live with it. So I observe it, and I'm watching how it works, and we really have to stop this. There's many aspects to it. But one, of course, we want to, the global elite, ultimately the synagogue of Satan, wants to take out, of course, the truth and Jesus Christ and the church, et cetera. But I wanted to start, Andy, with our 40 shows. Do you think we're having a positive impact? Are there people out there who are hearing our messages? from my point of view, we've just been pouring out the truth like through a fire hose about 9/11 and about the global warming fraud and now more recently on the global gang stalking. I'm not getting much feedback from your audience, although you say you get 500,000 hits a month on your website and people are listening to the shows. So could you give me a sense of what kind of response, impact we might be having with these shows? Is anybody listening? I know the intelligence agencies are monitoring us. Are we helping bring the body politic forward to where they can act and reclaim their sovereignty as individuals and the sovereignty of their nations?
Well, I think that we are. I mean, what I find, Eric, is people tend to, listen to the shows and not necessarily come in and comment on them, So I don't get many emails about certain shows. Occasionally someone will email me about a show that they liked or a show that they disliked. But the way I look at it is the way I am. And of course, I've been listening to these alternative media radio shows for nearly 20 years, probably actually 20 years now this year. I never really used to email people. What I did do was I emailed Daryl Bradford Smith once, the timeline of the Rothschild and what have you. That became the Synagogue of Satan book. And because he put it up on his website and I would add to it and things like that. But that was really just to send him something, some research I was doing. I never even knew that he was going to put it up on his website and stuff like that. So that's really my history of sort of contacting hosts. So I think that if people out there are like myself, then they don't tend to really contact a host. If they hear a good show, then they'll probably listen again. But I certainly think that we're having an impact, and the shows themselves, and you just look at what's happening in the world today with all this censorship. And as you said, earlier on you touched on, they've ignored us for years, but now they're coming after us. And so the ignoring us part hasn't worked. And the mainstream media are never going to tell you the effect that we're having because they're the enemy. Okay. But obviously, if we weren't having an effect, then they wouldn't be pushing all these laws trying to stifle free speech. And I think that we just need to continue to do what we're doing. We know that we win in the end. The good book tells us that. And we just have to plug away. But I will ask any of the audience if they do want to let us know what they think, any positives and that about our shows together. Email me at andrewcarringtonhitchcock@hotmail.com, and I'll certainly pass these on to Eric.
Yeah, thanks, Andy. I think this is a good to have somewhat of a reality check once in a while. A certain amount of faith is involved in what we're doing. I guess we need to, just keep praying to God and keep rowing to shore. As our nations are infected and infiltrated and are crumbling from within with corruption. But yeah, let's jump into our topic, which is a huge one, mind control. And again, I have put together this inception of a recording project in which I take some of the really most important information from my gang stalking mind control cults.com website and snippets of information from various sources, and then put it, instrumentated, you might say, with some of my own tunes that I've recorded over the years. That's been a lifelong passion and pleasure for me, is music. And again, to get the word out in another way. So in other words, to just keep hopefully the important issues in front of the public, even though our mainstream media is so controlled and so infiltrated with the enemy. The Synagogue of Satan is the source of our the corruption, and that is the great refreshing element, I think, about this show in particular. We're not afraid to say that, and even most Catholic and Protestant ministers won't even preach on John 8:44 now, ye are of your father the devil, as Christ said to the Pharisees. But anyway, let's move to this odious topic of mind control. I think it's well advanced. And if you don't mind, let's listen to what Robert Naisland, I think has been targeted for mind control, non-consensual human experimentee for many decades, and very smart fellow. He's figured it out, given lectures and told people and recorded, and has lawsuits, etc. So let's listen to his testimony on the first cut called The Human Brain Project.
Absolutely, Eric. I'll cue it up now. Here we go, folks.
From a lecture on the Human Brain Project by Robert Naslund, Swedish targeted individual and mind control victim. The history of cybernetics is the history of the Human Brain Project. It was developed as a collaboration between military research agencies and major hospitals in the world. Brains can be stolen and raped. The authorities do it. In April 10, 1967, the New York Times editorial Push Button People discussed the ongoing experiments and warned about the dangers of this technology. They also mentioned that probably there were countries in the world that had already planned to subjugate their people using this technique. Both the U.S. and Sweden were countries that had far-reaching plans to subjugate citizens beyond their knowledge in brain control systems. The Phoenix program in Vietnam in 1970 used this same brain technology to identify and mass murder 33,000 civilians who were identified by the technology as Viet Cong sympathizers. In 1967, the New York Times published 30 articles about the CIA's brain control systems. The most important thing that was brought into light was that this project already had begun in the late 1940s, and they had built, with this technology, a state within a state. From New York Times editorial, August 5th, 1977. Control CIA, not behavior. So we must add repugnant medical experimentation to the list of horror stories emerging from the CIA. It was no secret that the agency once hunted desperately for means to control human behavior. One objective was to program individuals so that they might do the agency's bidding, even to the point of ignoring such fundamental laws of human nature as self-preservation. We are not sufficiently schooled in ethics to know how this differs from murder. There is no substitute for holding their senior officials ethically and legally responsible as individuals for all activities. Even at this late date, the country should be told who sanctioned such projects and how. A conference was held in 1986, March 13, about the issue of mind control at the Swedish Department of Justice. Swedish Justice Minister Sten Wickbon had invited some professors, researchers, and a few politicians. One professor, Bengt Bernau, said that researchers from all over the world are coming to Sweden to experiment on humans because they don't have the right to do that in their own countries. Because we here in Sweden have less protection of our human rights than other nations. Many of those that sit in the EU, European Union, Parliament also have their brains incorporated into the Defense Department's supercomputer control systems. Of course, they become a type of puppet for the will of others. In 2005, the European Commission's Ethical Board wrote, "Brain-computer interface, BCI, or direct brain control, are communication technologies. They take information from the brain and externalize it. Contemporary society is confronted with changes that have to do with the anthropological essence of individuals. To what extent might this technology be misused by the military? The member states and their ethics councils have a responsibility to create conditions for education and constructive, informed debates in this area." End quote. Throughout the history of mankind, there has never existed anything more totalitarian. There has never been anything more anti-democratic. A dictatorship can never be greater than when its citizens' brains are linked to computer control. The state has become a cannibal, a rapist who is eating its citizens, transforming us into biological, manipulable components. What happened during over 60 years of brain experimentation? Which doctors, professors, what institutions have been involved in the most anti-democratic project that ever existed? By what kinds of methods has it been possible to keep it off the media and people's attention? What is the role of the medical corporations? They are involved. What does the government say? FOIs, which is Sweden's DOD, DARPA, supercomputers must be turned off. We are all about to become the state's lab rats and chip-regulated behavior skulls.
Wow, fantastic music and obviously excellent information there, Eric. Anything else you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, well, I could, you know, I just wrote this down from listening to a YouTube lecture that Robert Naisland gave called The Human Brain Project. And he really, now this is a man who has been chipped since the late 60s. And I have also transcribed other information that he's put out on videos, you know, where he tells his own story and what happened when. But we're really dealing with the criminalized medical system now, as the medical profession and the psychiatric professions have been co-opted by the CIA, which of course is the tool of the synagogue of Satan and the Illuminati, never was anything else. And this goes right back to its inception in 1947 in the United States. And in 2012, Andy, I wrote an extensive article called Mind Control, History and Applications. And I was just recently retired and turning my still fairly significant amount of energy to some problems that I thought affect us all. And there's nothing more important than this topic of mind control. As we just sleepwalk into the age of cyborgs and we become biorobotized slaves, which is the goal of the synagogue of Satan and the Illuminati. I wrote this article, took a whole year to write it. It's about 50, 60 pages, a review of about 50 or 60 books. And lo and behold, the next year I was targeted. So there may be a connection there, because this is the family jewels of the CIA. You have to understand the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency, was started in 1947 with the National Security Act under Harry Truman as president, and right after World War II. So it came out of the OSS, Office of Strategic Services, during World War II, which was our National Intelligence Agency, but it was more than that. It was a dirty tricks operation. Their main passion was what they called fun and games, dirty tricks, really. And by the way, OSS was trained by MI6. So anyway, there was a definite connection, always has been, between the CIA and MI6. And historically and practically, and now I think Mossad is right in there. So they're all basically one thing now. But the CIA is probably one of the greatest criminal organizations in the history of the world, because they have subverted and sabotaged nations all over the world to extend the American empire to where we now have, 800 military bases around the world. We have our special operations forces going in 133 nations of 195. In other words, we're going for broke. You know, this is total, full spectrum dominance, the American empire. Well, the American people never voted for this, but this is what the Illuminati, the synagogue of Satan, wants. So the CIA right away throughout, it had a legitimate role as providing intelligence for the president, but 90% of its activity was fun and games, covert operations, illegal, every single one of them. And it has conducted probably millions and millions now. In fact, all of the gang stalking operations that go on are illegal, so they're all covert operations. So this whole thing is metastasized. It's a cancer now infecting the world. The CIA is a cancer that has just about destroyed the world, as far as I can tell. But yeah, all of the foreign policy was based on subverting the basic international law that nations are sovereign. CIA never believed that. They subverted every nation, including the United States, with their Operation Chaos in the 60s, et cetera. And then the other thing that they subverted was the whole basis of civil liberties, which is that the individual is sovereign within the nations and has freedom of speech and religion, et cetera. They never believed that either. So the CIA, as the willing tool of the high cabal, which is the synagogue of Satan, has overthrown the basis of all international and national law. That's for starters. And once you start studying it, it is horrendous. So the CIA is the serpent in the garden here in terms of mind control. It's cutting deals with these top psychology professors trying to learn how to get other people to do their bidding. In other words, to turn them into their willing or unwilling slaves. And this gets into the whole subject of mind control. So what we have this is unholy alliance between the medical profession and the intelligence agencies against the sovereignty of individuals, so that individuals will then become biorobotized slaves. And we're very, very far down on this road. I can name these names. I've studied these people. You know, is anybody listening? I mean, I can go on and talk 2 hours about what Dr. Ewan Cameron did in Toronto, you know, with his hideous, horrendous experiments to depattern the mind and then reprogram it so that you have a biorobotized slave. And many, many casualties, of course, were produced. But there's many, many names, and I could go through them, but we don't really have time for that on this show. And we can do it again. I'd be glad to go through the names of these are monsters. These are fiends, and they're very much active today. As the next recording points out, maybe we should just jump into our song here, Andy.
Yeah,
I want to map your brain.
Yeah, absolutely, Eric. Let's jump into that now. And as Eric said, here we go. I want to map your brain.
Saturday night, I was downtown working for my CIA. Sitting in a nest of neuroscientists from Yale, Harvard, MIT, UC Berkeley, Stanford, Georgetown, University of Chicago, University of Illinois, Columbia, Illinois Smart State, Argonne, Fermi, Los Alamos, and Livermore National Labs, Lockheed Martin, Leidos, SAIC, Raytheon, General Dynamics, Inc., etc. When I overheard one of them say, "We are the front line on the most important battlefield ever, the battle for the control of the minds of men. The now realizable goal to create biorobotized humans and a psycho-civilized society. We love the work we do for the CIA, DIA, DARPA, and the corporate sector, but the hours can be long and tedious, so we need a catchy theme song to keep up our morale. Something like this." Yeah, we'll tell you something. Allow us to explain. And we'll tell you something. We wanna map your brain. We're gonna map your brain. We're gonna clone your brain through biotelemetry. We see the thoughts inside your brain. Then we electronically, we control your brain. We control your brain. We're gonna steal your brain. When we control you, we feel happy inside. It's such a feeling that our slave, we can't hide, we can't hide, we can't hide. Oh. century. Now we, with our technology, we can control your brain. Now we can steal your brain. Now we can take your brain. Now we'll pull the string and we'll wink at you. You're our puppet. And you'll do funny things when we want you to. You're our puppet. Now you're ours to have and to hold. And loser, we've got full control of our puppet. You're our puppet. You're our puppet.
That was outstanding, Eric. And just before I respond, I forgot to thank Mark at the start of the show for his recent donation. But what really jumped out to me about that, obviously the other couple of tracks, the one that we played earlier, the Human Brain Project, and the one that we are going to be listening to towards the end of the show, I'd already heard, but this one I only just got, so it was the first time I heard it. And of course, that parody of a rather well-known song, it leads me to believe what a lot of people have been saying as well, that the whole idea of pop music or rock music or what have you was a form of mind control. Have you done any research into that at all, Eric?
Absolutely, yes. We could have a show about that for sure, or two, Andy. And of course, Dr. John Coleman, who's former MI6, wrote a book about the Tavistock Institute, and he definitely makes that point. And the Beatles in particular, he says, were very much a product of Theodore Adorno, who wrote a lot of the music for them. And this was mind control. And it was you know, social engineering is what they would call it. You see, this is, and we could talk about how the British invasion, which came to America with the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, was maybe the first phase. But then we had the American counterpart to that came right out of Laurel Canyon, out of Los Angeles. And there's a book, an excellent book by David McGowan called Weird Scenes Inside the Canyon, which talk about all the intelligence connections. All of these rock stars were in fact sons and daughters of military and intelligence people, and were spies. And many of them were mind-controlled spies. That is to say, they were MK Ultra products. And David McGowan is a very clever writer. Like I say, we could talk about this. And so they created the whole sex, drugs, rock and roll, hippie scene, and then they attacked it. They created it, and then the FBI attacked it with the with their counterintelligence program, COINTELPRO, 1951-1971, and then they killed off a lot of these people, or gave them different identities. These rock stars that we all know and love, but were in fact served up to us. And I think it's been that way ever since, Andy. Our, the MK Ultra is at the center of it. This odious set of we only know a small amount of what the CIA and the medical establishment has done with our taxpayer money, but most of it concerns about 10 boxes of documents that Richard Helms of the CIA believed he had destroyed, which were found in a room in a Xerox copies in a finance records room, about MK Ultra, 149 sub projects that went from 1953 to 1963 or 73, depending on who you listen to. And again, we could do a show on that. John Marks out of the State Department got together with some other people, and they went through these, even though they were heavily redacted. They were able to figure out which universities got which contracts, which researcher was doing what. But this very much brings us into the mind control arena that we're dealing with the use of electronic weapons, neural weapons, electromagnetic, acoustic weapons that are now being unleashed on targeted individuals. This is really an extension of the MKUltra. It's just out in the air. Whereas back in the early days, it was done in hospitals and military bases. And then after the Church Committee hearings in the 70s, it had to retreat a little bit. It went into the cults that the CIA created for this purpose. And then subsequently, it's just out in the whole world now, because their technology and surveillance and directed energy weapons and neural weapons are so sophisticated. I'm thinking, after listening to that song, we probably should talk about the technology, because I'm finally starting to feel like I have a handle on it. I can't claim to be an expert. Nobody, you know, who is not directly involved would really know exactly what's involved. But we TIs have been studying this thing pretty hard because we're affected by it. And we're sharing our stories, and we're getting all the information we can. So as a TA, I think I can maybe make a stab at it next time. But yeah, this all comes from the CIA mind control experiments, which morphed out of the Nazi mind control proceedings at the concentration camps, which comes out of the Illuminati, which is the synagogue of Satan. So this is all very deeply satanic. The 2012 paper I wrote, Mind Control, History and Applications, is on my 911nwo.com website. You can read it there. It's also on my gang stalking mind control cults.com website. People can read it there. It could be a book. I haven't had time to write any books, Andy, because each time I get to the point where I could easily write a book, I've probably got about 20 books worth or more on my websites. Maybe more. I don't know what would it be. But then my research takes me into a new avenue, and I have to keep moving to pull that piece in. And so, I don't know if I'm going to live another 30 years, but that's what it would take to write these books. But anyway, so this article, this is a good introduction. Mind Control, History and Applications is a good introduction to this topic, which has been with us for a long time, but has been a secret. In fact, Alfred McCoy, Dr. Alfred McCoy, wrote a book about torture in America, and he said the no-torture techniques that are being used in Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo and on the targeted individuals around the world, this comes out of the MKUltra type experiments, and that this was a Manhattan Project of the mind that started back in the 40s and 50s and 60s. And we were, as a nation in America, spending over $1 billion a year then. But it was secret. It was silent. And then, of course, under George H.W. Bush in the 90s, we had the Decade of the Brain. And under Obama, we have the Human Brain Project. So right now, neuroscience is exploding in terms of what they can do, in terms of mapping and digitally copying brains. And this is what's happening to many TIs, such as myself. I know they're mapping my brain, and they want to put it on a digital, you know, supercomputer, a conscious supercomputer. And then they want to be able to load it on a file and then, you know, sell it to some Jew who's really not that smart. You know, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with it. I mean, maybe they're going to put it in with the cloud, and then you have a hive mind, you know, with a million minds, because we have these supercomputing capabilities now. There's so many things they can do. But this is an enormous project, and this is the area in science right now which has the most backing and funding, a lot of it from the Pentagon, because the generals want to win future wars, winning the battle for the minds of men. In other words, killing people with bullets and, you know, bayonets is kind of messy and outdated. Let's just change their minds. Let's just control their minds. Let's just change their behavior. So this has got all of the attention, has had all the attention of the Pentagon from the get-go. So it's a combination of military corporations and the CIA. They are very far advanced with this now. And we need all hands on deck, Andy. I mean, I can't fix this problem. I can identify this problem, and I can do what I can. But that's why I asked the question at the beginning. We need people to step up. and research this. And we need teams of people to oppose it and to figure out strategies to get laws that are actually enforced. There's many laws that outlaw this, that what they're doing is illegal on so many fronts. There's another show we could do, all the laws being violated now. God's laws as well as human laws are being violated on a massive scale by our nations to get this done. So this is the number one project of the United States government, according to Dr. Ronnie Kilda. This is it. So the targeted individuals who officially don't exist, that's all state suppression. That's state repression, state suppression, and the state, of course, controlled by the elite, and we know who controls the elite, synagogue of Satan. So that's why this is such a deeply satanic program. It is to change humans into biorobots. Now we're going to have cybernetic organisms. We're going to have a merger of man and machine so that the elite, the synagogue of Satan, can live forever. And that way they escape going to hell, because they know they're going to hell. And then they can turn the rest of us into their biorobot slaves. So that's why there's so much money in this, and that's why it's such a highball project. And we just have to keep knocking down the walls until our governments start serving us, we the people, instead of the synagogue of Satan. And, of course, we know that things are going to get worse, and we've read to the end of the book. We know Christ returns. But meanwhile, we're in terrible straits here. That's a commentary on that song. And the song, I think, came out great. I'm very happy with that particular song because it kind of puts it in a nutshell. And it occurs to me as I listen to that song that, yes, we need to talk about the technology, because the average person would think this is all science fiction. But, you know, what's science fiction 2 decades ago is not science fiction today. We have moved so fast in this area of supercomputing, artificial intelligence, what they use, this fMRI, functional magnetic resonance imaging of brains. They can do it remotely now. They could EEG cloning, electroencephalograms tied up with the computers. Have to think of the human mind as a radio. We send and receive electromagnetic signals, and we can be hooked up unknowingly to supercomputers that are putting images and sounds in our brain. This is called virtual telepathy, et cetera, synthetic telepathy, voice to skull, V2K, got the microwave hearing. They've got many, many names for it. And this can be, of course, used in a military sense or for social engineering. In other words, change the behavior of this person or that person, change their identities. All the stuff that Dr. Ewan Cameron was trying to do back in the 50s, they can now do remotely. So anyway, I better shut up if we're going to listen to this next one. The next recording gives us the vision stated by the Rothschilds and Maurice Strong and the Rockefeller elite of the Illuminati, Synagogue of Satan, back in the 1987, courtesy of George W. Hunt, a Christian businessman from Denver, Colorado, who attended a series of conferences that preceded the 1992 Rio Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro. And he was horrified to see what was going down, and he recorded it on his website, The Big Bad Bank, and then I'm sure he became a target as well. But let's listen to this this next cut. I think it's called The Fourth World Wilderness of the Mind. This is the vision for us of the Illuminati. They're going to use the New Age movement to bring us into this mind-controlled utopia for them and hell for the rest of us. That's their vision.
Absolutely. Before we do, just one quick comment. We were talking about musicians, mm-hmm. and you said about all these musicians that were, you know, our parents in the military. I think the most well-known is Jim Morrison's father, George Stephen Morrison. He was actually a rear admiral, so that's about one of the highest ranks that you can get. But there's an interesting paragraph, only two lines, on his career on his Wikipedia page. In 1967, in one article in the British paper, The Telegraph, it is unofficially reported by some that Morrison vehemently opposed the US response to and findings of the USS Liberty incident, which exonerated Israel of malice. Morrison did not rise in rank again after his outspoken criticism of Israeli intentions. So I thought that was quite an interesting point to bring out there as a side issue. So now let's go to the final track of the show, Fourth World Wilderness of the Mind. Here we go, folks.
Christian businessman George Hunt attended a number of semi-secret United Nations planning sessions in Colorado in the late 1980s. These meetings were preparatory for the United Nations Rio Earth Summit of 1992. Hunt states, "In 1987, I attended the Fourth World Wilderness Congress. Maurice Strong, the convener, said it was called the Fourth World because it was the fourth one of these environment congresses that Edmund de Rothschild had created. I learned later that the world order refers to the coming one world government as the Fourth World, or world control by the world order where there is no more first, second, or third worlds, just a boundaryless planet, which is called the Fourth World Wilderness. Yogis and shamans refer to it as the Fourth World Wilderness, the lostness of the mind. The lostness of the mind refers to the collective consciousness. Persons will be coerced through lies, drugs, fear, and pain to surrender themselves, their egos, to the collective consciousness, or possibly hive mind or the cloud." Comment by the narrator. "The Fourth World will be a return to a society much like the Caesars or Babylon or the Fourth Reich within the fictionalized societies described in Huxley's Brave New World and Brave New World Revisited and George Orwell's classic 1984. We will flourish with only a whimper. The world order wants to create a new society out of the ashes of chaos, a collectivist fourth world complete with a collectivist religion, collectivist finance, and unchecked world national socialism, fascism. The world order will offer Gaia, Mother Earth, to the masses as the Big Brother image to worship in the fourth world. Maurice Strong has already set up a 140,000-acre project in Crestone, Colorado, to develop this Earth religion system. Projects are funded by the Rockefeller Fund, among other foundations. The 1992 Rio Earth Summit will link environment with industry. The Lords of the Unsaid Conference," that's the United Nations Conference on Environment and Development, "will be the masters of who gets what and when if we don't do something about it quickly. Who leads the environmental movement? The convener of the Rio Earth Summit, Maurice Strong, identifies Baron Edmund de Rothschild as the creator of the environment movement. Strong states that Rothschild is the positive synthesis of environment, on the one hand, that's the thesis, and growth and development on the other, that's the antithesis. Strong very clearly admits that the Rothschild combination, including the Rockefellers and most world capitalists, aim to control the environment and development movement as the synthesis of the thesis and antithesis in the Hegelian dialectic. Power will converge into their hands through the 1992 Rio Conference. The synthesis, the head of the power, merges into the hands of the House of Rothschild." Another speaker at the Fourth World Conference was David Rockefeller, world energy capitalist and banker. He was named Mr. Growth and Development at the meeting. His counterpart, William Ruckelshaus, organizer of the EPA and creator of its laws under Presidents Ford and Reagan, was dubbed Mr. Environment. Mr. Environment Ruckelshaus is the CEO and chairman of the board for BFI, Browning Ferris Industries, one of the largest private environment companies in the world. The hypocrisy is that Ruckelshaus, as EPA chief, made the very laws by which his waste company, FBI, is becoming rich. Hypocrisy number two is that Ruckelshaus and Maurice Strong were key investors in American Water Development, a company which tried to circumvent Colorado water laws and gain control of one of the largest underground reservoirs of water in the world. I did a survey of the people down in the San Luis Valley, and I asked what will happen when Maurice Strong and William Ruckelshaus and others will pull 200,000 acre feet of water per year out of the San Luis Valley. It was unanimous that their land will turn into a wasteland, will turn into a desert. So here we have people at an environmental congress that are waltzing 200 miles south that want to suck the aquifers dry and turn it into a desert. The hypocrisy is so deep. What kind of madness are these world order Caesars afflicted with? They hope to run the lives of people for generations to come. They are the same crowd who created a Hitler, arranged the assassination of Lincoln and Kennedy, and have indicated elsewhere that they want to drastically reduce the population of the world to make environment and development more sustainable.
Thank you, Eric. Another very interesting track and quite haunting music to go along with it. I mean, there was so much information in there. And of course, it goes to show, I mean, when you talk about this has been in the planning for centuries, you're not wrong. And things like, I'm reminded of the ADL competition in, I believe, 1988 or 89 about drafting hate crimes legislation, or hate speech legislation, rather. And we see what's happening today. So these people, I think that they're most upset it's taken them as long as it has. But I think now they've got to the stage where they're going to throw caution to the wind, and either they're going to get what they want or they're going to take the whole world down with them via the Samson option. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I agree. I think they have tried and tried and tried. You know, 2000 was going to be their year, and then Marie Strong is actually on record as saying, well, we've got to get this done by 2012. And, you know, they keep failing. So that's the good news. They keep not hitting their targets. But when you start to realize that there is a group of people on this planet that is obsessed with taking it over and conquering it and controlling it and having dominion over it, and then enslaving and genociding the rest of us, this is quite alarming. And I have, you know, it's taken me a long time. I'm 70 years old. I didn't realize this, you know, until I was probably about 60, that the Jews, you know, the synagogue of Satan, the Illuminati, but in general, the Jews regard all non-Jews as the enemy and work to destroy wherever they are. They work to destroy the other nations. So basically, Zionism and communism are two sides of the same coin. Zionism is to build up the Zionist superstate in Israel till it conquers the world. Communism is to destroy all the other nations. And so, you know, this notion that Zionists are different from Jews and communists, to me, these are false dichotomies. I think that it's the same thing. And you listen to their quotes. You know, somebody asked Theodore Herzl at the World Zionist Congress, and you know, about 1899 or something like that, is Israel a nation? And of course, physically, it was not at that time. But they're having, you know, plans to get this, to take over Palestine even then. And he said, well, if you define nation as a group of people united against a common enemy, then yes, Israel is a nation. Well, this is what you have. You have a group of people united against a common enemy. And the common enemy is all non-Jews. That's phenomenal. And yet they pursue this with relentless fervor century after century. And they do it with all the characteristics of a psychopath. They are, in fact, predators. And I've come to the and Satan's children, as Jesus pointed out, you know, ye are of your father the devil, and his lusts you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and a liar and the father of lies, John 8:44. I mean, I don't have anything against anybody. But if a group of people demonstrates over centuries that they want to destroy everything decent in the world and take over and kill everybody and enslave everybody else, I have an objection to that. And I feel like any decent person would stand up and say, no, we're not going to let you do that. Which is why, of course, as in your book, you point out, this group has been expelled from, 107 countries in the last 2,000 years. Because always this is what they do. Every country they subvert to destroy and to take it over. They have destroyed the United States, which I think we could call now the new Soviet Union, NSU. And they obviously have it under their control. as Bobby Fischer said, and he was a Jew too, he was the youngest world chess champion. He said, my basic thesis is that the Jews are criminal people. The Jews completely control the United States, and the Jews are using the United States to take over the world for them. Well, this is really not debatable if you study the matter. And there's another aspect to this. They want to usher in their Antichrist kingdom. Hell on earth. They are doing Satan's work for him. They're Satan's children. And I don't say this out of animus or out of prejudice. I say this out of, this is what the record shows. And if this is what they did last year and the last 100 years and the last 1,000 years, we can predict that this is what they're going to do next year and 100 years from now. So we have a major problem. And how we deal with it is going to determine what happens in our nations. We have to expunge the influence of these people one way or the other. That's obviously something we can't debate at this point in the show, but we have to at least identify the problem. And that's why your show stands out as a beacon of hope, actually, because at least we get to say what the problem is.
Well, I mean, what you just said there, I mean, you couldn't have been a university professor for 30 years if you had hate for different people, because you have to serve all the people that come through the door. And I couldn't have been a police officer for the time that I was earlier in the 2000s without being thoroughly vetted and checked and what have you. You know, we see ourselves as regular day-to-day people. We're not looking to make enemies of anybody. But at the same time, we don't expect people to make enemies of us and to basically come out and say how nasty white people are, for example, and have their own talking heads, the Noel Ignatievs and people like that, calling for our destruction. And nothing is done to them whatsoever, apart from them being given even more academic awards, whereas the likes of us, if we were to come out with anything like that about any other races, then you look at what would happen to us. And I mean, even the situation where we had a recent stabbing at a rabbi's house or what have you in New York. Well, at pretty much the same time, you had a shooting in a Texas church where two people were shot dead. Now, we don't condone any sort of violence, and our sympathies go out to the victims in both cases, and those injured and those who are suffering as a result. But the point is what sort of newspaper and media coverage did the church shooting get, where two people were actually killed, when compared to the stabbing at the rabbi's house, where no one was killed, although I think 5 people were injured? But the weight of the media was heavily biased on reporting that event, and they didn't seem to give a tinker's cuss about the church shooting in Texas, because of course it was white people that were shot by a black man, I believe. Funny enough, it was a black man who allegedly carried out this stabbing in this rabbi's house. But for some reason, one story is far more important than the other, Eric.
Yeah, well, we know who owns the press. What, six Jewish-owned corporations own 90-95% of the world's media. They're very complicit in all of the targeting, of course, because they refuse to cover it, as well as many, many other elements of society. So we have to see that as an essential ingredient of the military corporate structure which runs the world, and it certainly runs America, the military-industrial complex. But the focus should be, and then it should be Eisenhower's full term, it was intended to be military-industrial congressional complex. So they also, of course, have their control over the Congress. So you know, this is not the sort of conclusion that I was brought up not to be prejudiced against anybody. In fact, I think my two godparents are Jewish. I think my parents were very, very sympathetic to the Jewish cause, and they were nice people. But when I see the and you know, I could go on and talk about some of my relatives who are Jewish too. But the point is that this plan is an ancient plan, and there are a group of people that are, for whatever reason, supporting this plan, and somehow they've been getting it done, and they oppose the rest of the world. We have to defend ourselves. And of course, they would look at all non-Jews as cattle. Goyim are beasts, are cattle or beasts, not human. And this is a point that Douglas Reed made very clear to me when I read his book, The Controversy of Zion, which is really a great read. It's a very important book for people to come to grips with. He was one of the top World War II journalists. And, you know, he came to the same conclusions, of course, but then he also documents them. And he points out that to the Jewish mind, you know, the 1700 or 1800 years of Western Christian civilization is just kind of like a hiccup in their plan. They don't recognize any validity to it. They don't look at Christians or Christianity as something with any value whatsoever. It's just an enemy to be defeated so that they can reassert control. So there is this psychopathic element to what's going on here that is very fascinating. It's relentless. And I think what we look deeply, we find in the interview with Harold Rosenthal, who is, of course, Jewish aide to Senator Jacob Javits, who did a very extensive interview in 1976, and he finished by saying, most Jews don't like to admit it, but the God we worship is Lucifer. He is very much alive, and we are his chosen people. Okay, so a lot of people don't want to believe in Lucifer, but these people do, and they believe they're getting energy from him by doing his service. Wow. Okay, that's powerful juju there. You know, that's black magic. That's a hive mind. They are a collective. They are not individuals. They're working as a group to take over the world for their commander-in-chief, who is Satan. And I think what they want to do with this mind control and the hive minding of the rest of us is put us in their hive mind to be controlled by Satan. In other words, to bring us to their club, their religion, which is worship of Lucifer. And of course, we're not enthusiastic about that. Our God is Jesus. You know, Jesus Christ is God in our version of reality. And so this is why the fundamental dynamic, the fundamental tension of the last 2,000 years. If you read Michael Jones' book, the Jewish Revolutionary Spirit, is this battle between the church, the Christian church, and the Jews. And the Christian church has been the chief opponent. And we have had Western Christian civilization. It's produced great things and decent people, but now this must be destroyed, according to the Jews. So this is the battle. Are we going to maintain a decent world with Christian values, or are we going to all just go into the pit of hell where the Jews want us to be? And I've seen it operating, and you talked about my 30 years in academics as a professor. Of course, I also had 10 years as a student in higher education, too. So that's 40 years out of my 70. And you know, you can see the influence there for sure. And the social sciences are completely subverted now by, you know, the Frankfurt School and the CIA and the MKUltra projects and things like that. So once you start to see this pernicious influence played out at all levels of society, you just have to stand up and say, you know, no more. This is inhuman. What's happening is inhuman. It is diabolical. We say no, we reject this. So Jesus Christ came to expose and defeat the works of the devil. We are his representatives, agents, hopefully on earth. We have to step up. We can't just say, oh, peace, love, kumbaya. We have to be the Christian soldiers. And we have no choice, in my opinion. So I hope people will step up and all hands on deck, as my grandfather, who was a Lutheran minister, would say. He was also a sailor. Alleman på däck in Swedish. Every person needs to stand up. We can't do it. You can't do it. I can't do it. But we all have to do it.
Thank you so much, Eric. Excellent information. Very informative show, as always. So I thank you for joining me today, folks. Don't forget to check out the post for this show. And you'll see Eric's websites all listed there. I look forward to having Eric on with me again in the near future, and I look forward to speaking to you all again tomorrow. And until then, folks, bye.